We are going to talk with you about the Akashic Records this hour. Lisa Barnett with us. We'll take phone calls with her next hour as well. Several of her books out, including From Questioning to Knowing, and she is next with us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Lisa Barnett, founder and head teacher of the Akashic Knowing School of Wisdom, a school where students learn to access their soul wisdom and guidance from their personal Akashic records, along with a number of other healing tools, meditation, and prayer systems. Lisa has more than 25 years of experience in the spiritual healing forum, master of many healing modalities, and for 10 of those years, she's also been a certified prayer practitioner who has offered healing prayer treatment, and we know it works just with our Friday healing endeavors as well. And here she is back on Coast to Coast, Lisa Barnett. Hello there, Lisa.
Good morning, George. Thank you so much for having me back.
I'm looking forward to this. Explain to the world what Akashic Records are.
Okay, so the Akashic Records are the records of your soul from the time your soul individuates from Source until it eventually, someday in the very far distant future, returns home back into that unified field of oneness. So everything you've ever been or done is recorded in your personal record. So the amazing thing about this is that, of course, we can tap into all sorts of different, you know, intuitive fields and even the big field of kind of really the cosmic one mind. But to me, the Akashic Records are really special and important because each person, each soul, has their own record, their own record keepers, and their own soul plan. So to me, it's like, if you were going to start a business, you would probably write a business plan, right? You might have an accountant, a lawyer, some people helping you out. These are the people who are working with you to make you successful. Well, if you think about your own Akashic record, this is the library of your soul, and your record keepers are here to help you decipher and understand your soul plan, soul contracts, what you came to do, the gifts and talents you have from other lives that you can access in this life. So your Akashic record is filled with wisdom that is useful to you in this life.
Now, the keepers of the Akashic records, are they standing up there with some kind of a quill-type pen and they're just writing everything you do from the moment you are born? What happens?
Well, just like, you know, kind of like the cloud now, right? Everything we do is energetically written.
Uh-huh.
So they don't have to sit there and do it longhand, right? They were telling me, they're very funny, actually. That's kind of one of the cool things. They really are beings of light, and we can speak with them, and they're very humorous because they're pure love. But they said, you know, imagine that when you were born, they strapped a GoPro to your head. And as you went through life, everything was recorded on that GoPro. That would probably be a better analogy in some ways of what the Akashic Records is like, right? Everything is recorded.
And who does the recording?
Well, it really is your soul. Now, we have these beings of light that are there to help us understand and decipher it, but it's like an energetic kind of recording. So no one has to do it, and nobody goofs it up for us, right? Just like if you had that GoPro on your head, it would see everything you saw.
Once it's in the records, can it be erased?
Yes, it can.
Really?
Yeah.
The bad stuff you can take out?
Well, you know, it's about learning and growth. And so what the beings of light, these record keepers, say is that, you know, I don't know if erased is quite the perfect word, but you would close that book. You would say, I understand that karma. I got the growth. I learned the lesson. I finished the pattern. I can close that book. I don't have to go there again. And so sometimes it'll take us many, many, many lives to kind of understand some truth, some pattern, some karma. And that's not always very fun. So when we get to close that book and say, I got it now, I understand that, it's done, right? It's about the learning and growth. And in some ways, though, here's one part where I see that the Akashic Masters will clear and release old vows and some old contracts that are kind of stuck outside of time and space. So if you took a vow of poverty back in the, 1200 A.D., and that is no longer serving you, we can literally go into the records and ask these beings of light, is this vow complete? Can we really, rip, tear, burn that old vow? And I literally will see these often, kind of like a scroll of paper. And we can delete and release that old energy because it's stuck. It's not useful. It's not who we are. It's complete. So we can release, and literally I often will see them kind of burn some of these scrolls up. So, yeah, there are things that do get erased.
I believe when you were with me a couple years ago, we were talking about your work, The Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records.
Yes.
Did that make sense?
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And the new one, of course, is From Questioning to Knowing.
Yes.
Subtitle, 73 Prayers to Transform Your Life. What do you mean by that?
Well.
Without telling us all 73.
Right. Well, there are literally 73 prayers. So last year, the Akashic Record Keepers, Beings of Light, said to me, time to write another book. They're kind of, they're very pushy. They want me to get a lot of things done because they had asked me, almost 20 years ago, they said, would you help bring the Akashic wisdom and, energy back to the world? And I said, well, of course I will. Obviously, this is part of my soul plan and my soul contracts. And so the books that I've written are literally written or channeled through the Akashic Records. So when they said, write another book, I said, fine, what should we write? And they said, this will be a prayer book. And I said, really? I was literally a little confused there. I'm like, a prayer book? And they said, did you forget that you spent 10 years as a prayer practitioner with the New Thought Movement? And I said, yes, I actually did forget that because it was, 20 years ago, and I have a little bit of a short memory. So I said, okay, that makes sense, but, why? Why should we do this, right? And they said, it's so important for everyone now. They said something like over 90% of people in the world pray in some form or another. And they said, as we are raising our vibration, as we are becoming more conscious, as we are ascending in our own sort of energetic way, these prayers, which are imbued with the Akashic divine energy, will be a useful, helpful, easy tool for people to have.
We have on Fridays, Lisa, what we call the prayer list. Mm-hmm. And people will write in or email me somebody that they want on that list. It's not published. We don't put it on the website. And people pray on Fridays in their own moment for people, and they visualize people on the list. And when people email me, they say, my wife Betty has a tumor, please pray for her. I have to tell you, the follow-up emails that I get are astounding because a lot of times that call about Betty's tumor will be, thank you, something happened, the tumor's gone, doctors can't find it. It's unbelievable. Now, what is causing that to work? Is it the individual who thinks, I'm on the prayer list, this is going to work, or is something really happening?
Well, I absolutely believe that something is really, truly happening. And so, if we really believe that we are all one, we are all interconnected, we're all part of divine source, we really are whole, perfect, and complete, no matter what it looks like in this body at this moment. The truth is, as divine souls, we are always whole, perfect, and complete. And I believe that through prayer, we connect to that knowingness, to that feeling. It's not a thought. It doesn't have to be a belief. The person's not sitting there thinking, I'm whole, perfect, and complete. But they're feeling that divine, expansive truth of who they are as a soul. And in that moment, miracles happen.
Now, these healing prayers, these 73 healing prayers, who created them?
The Akashic Masters did. So when they said, we're going to write a prayer book, and I said, okay, I just kind of go along. I said, all right, I'll go to Sedona in March because I love to go to Sedona. I love the energy.
It's a great spot,
and,
isn't it?
You know, it's just an amazing spot to kind of just, you know, sit and write. And so I go for a couple of days and I just lock myself away and write. And I just let whatever it is to come to and through me. I don't think about it. I don't ask about it. I literally open the Akashic Records. I say to the Akashic Record Keepers, okay, I'll just channel whatever it is you want me to write. And out it flows. And there's moments where, you know, me, the Lisa personality, is like, really? What are we writing that about? Or does that make sense? Or, you know, I mean, you know, and then I just let it go and I just write. So for me, it's really fascinating to go back and start to edit it and actually get a chance to read it, because I didn't write it. It's not me. So it's always like, wow, that's very cool. So the prayers are written by these divine source beings of light that are here to be of service to us. They are, of course, because they're pure source, the highest, you know, vibration that we can access. When we say these prayers, when we read these prayers, we're moving into that pure love, that high vibrational energy. And I can feel when I do this with people, with groups, on radio shows, with one-on-one clients, however it is, people feel the energy in their body or around them or just that alignment. We all have our own way of feeling, but we notice the energy shift. And I've just had amazing stories, you know, also from these prayers, you know, from people reading them in the book, say, I read this prayer 3 times and, you know, my mother called me and I haven't spoken to her in 4 years and she was just really looking forward to reconnecting and reconciling and it was a miracle or, oh, just, you know, so many different varieties of those kinds of emails that I get. So it's a beautiful thing to be able to be of service in this way, to just channel these prayers through with this divine energy and let that go out into the world as a very profound and simple healing tool.
Lisa, rattle off some of the things that these prayers would be used for.
Okay. So there are... one of my favorite, a prayer to expand time. There's prayers of self-trust, prayers for strength, for alignment, for world peace, for forgiveness, for healing family relationships, for releasing blame and letting go of guilt. There's a prayer for courage. There is a prayer to release some of the old energies of jealousy and competition and disappointment and judgment and shame, which are all so important to really let go of those old low vibrations so we can move into self-love and abundance of love and self-trust and happiness and even joy. So 73 of them, George.
Yes. So each prayer is for something different?
Yes. Yes.
So if you want a job, it's a prayer. If you want a better relationship, it's a prayer.
Right. And sometimes there might be a couple of prayers. So there's a whole section on like family relationships, because so many of us have, you know, old trauma around our family of origin, right? Our parents, our siblings. And so the book is not only prayers. It's not just like 73 pages of prayers. The Akashic Masters have written or explained so many pieces of our soul path, kind of the expanse of the way they explain the world to us. So,
could they be affirmations? Is that what they would be called too?
You could, absolutely, absolutely. Some are very deep in the sense of the prayer for forgiveness, which helps us to actually release old karma.
Okay.
And really move into a much more expanded, aware state. And to me, the Akashic Masters always say, this is literally a path to awakening. Forgiveness, unconditional love, that is all the path to ascension or awakening or self-realization. So some are very, very profound in that deeper way. And then, of course, you know, the prayer of happiness, which is so beautiful because we all want to be happy, right? Don't we just want to have a nice day and kind of be happy?
That's been my theory about the population of the planet. They just want to enjoy themselves and their families. Yet we have all these government leaders who screw that up all the time.
Right, right. So they gave us these, you know, kind of simple prayers that help us to just drop back in that place of happiness and joy. And there's a whole little section about trust and healing. So it's about self-trust, and there's a prayer to help you trust other people. Many of us have issues trusting others, right? Not only ourselves, but, you know, trusting those around us. And there's a prayer for worthiness of the unique self. So many of the light workers, right, we feel kind of like oddballs in the world, like, you know, we haven't ever really fit in. So there's a whole prayer for worthiness of unique self.
I think so. That's amazing stuff.
Yeah, they're just very beautiful, and I'd love to share some of them with you and the listeners, if you'd like.
Yeah, give me a couple now before the break, if we can squeeze that in. If not, we'll do it later.
Yeah, let's do the prayer for worthiness of unique self, because it just feels very perfect.
Worthiness, okay.
Yes. So we ask the Divine Mother, Father, Goddess, God, I claim my uniqueness and I liberate the collective consciousness that has held me in constraint. I am free of all holds that seized my self-worth. I step away from the desire for public approval. I release the group contracts and agreements that no longer serve my highest good and move beyond the limitations of authority. I am worthy to express as my God self and do so now and each day forward. I claim this truth for myself and all I meet, and so it is. Blessed be.
And when do you see results?
So for one person, they could read a prayer like that once.
And they'll see it?
And say, yes, 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 that's true. I own it. I claim it. And someone else might read it three times a day for a week or two. You know, we're so unique, really, that each person can just go with what feels right. So I have a lot of clients and students who say, you know, I've picked out three or four prayers and I do them for the week. And I just love to do it that way. And then the next week, I pick another two or three or four prayers, and I do those for the week. And I just feel myself getting lighter and more expansive every week.
Well, think about this when we come back, Lisa. What happens if they don't work? What's wrong? And welcome back. Lisa Barnett with us as we talk about From Questioning to Knowing. Her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It is akashicknowing.com as well. Lisa, if some of these prayers don't work, what does that mean? What has gone wrong?
Well, you know, healing is really complicated, George. So one of the things that we know when we start to talk about healing is that healing is literally different for different people. So in one circumstance, you may be praying for someone who has cancer, and one perfect outcome would be for the tumor to go away, the cancer to disappear, the person to be healthy and, you know, happy and go on with their life. And for someone else, even though it may sound harsh, the perfect healing outcome is for them to cross over. So there is no right or wrong when it comes to healing. So that's kind of one way of thinking about it. I worked with a client a couple of months ago, and her marriage was on the rocks, and she was very upset about a possible divorce and was just really feeling like she had to stay married because she had a two-year-old baby. And when we start to work in the Akashic Records and look at her soul contracts, it turned out that her soul contract with her husband was complete. Part of it had to do with her them having this child, and then their relationship was complete, but their relationship with the child was, you know, continuing. That soul contract continued on. And so as she started to be able to see a different truth about her relationship and possible divorce, she was able to realize that actually divorce was the highest healing for her and her husband, and they could amicably separate and go on and be great parents and not be angry and fighting all the time. So for one person, it would be healing that relationship, maybe, you know, figuring out what it was that had them so upset, and then going happily forward in a joyful marriage. And for someone else, it's coming to that place where you can separate amicably and happily go forward there. So, you know, there is no right or wrong to healing. And so that's one piece of it. And then again, as we go back to that uniqueness of who we are as ancient, ancient souls, we have many, many different layers that play into any given issue.
Could these prayers be also called spells?
No, I wouldn't call them
spells. You wouldn't call them spells.
No,
okay.
No, you know, because you're really connecting to your soul, to divine source, and you're basically stating that I know the truth of who I am as a divine soul, and I claim that, and I release all that really is not in alignment with that, whether we're releasing suppressed anger that is making us ill, or, you know, we're moving into a place of forgiveness and releasing that, you know, discord or upset or anger towards someone who may have hurt us in the past. These things, suppressed emotions, are one of the things that really underlie so much of our physical illness and really all of our challenges in life. Because when we've suppressed and repressed emotions, we're like all tied up in knots. We have this barbed wire all around us. So it's pretty hard to have a happy relationship or be abundant in love or money or healthy.
What would a rotten person look, what would their Akashic Records look like?
Well, there's a good question, George. What would a rotten person? Well, honestly, I would say that at the core of their records, they're a divine soul. And what the Akashic Record keepers would say is that they have gotten themselves so wrapped and so twisted in garbage, in minutia, in anger and hurt and pain and blame, that they've turned into this kind of twisted person, but their soul at the core is still divine.
You really think so?
I do.
Even a murderer?
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty dramatic.
Yes, you know, this is what the Akashic Record Keepers say, is that because part of the way that the Earth School works is that we come to learn all sides of the coin. And so there are times where we may kill somebody in war, we may kill somebody in self-defense. I'm not talking particularly about, you know, people that are serial killers, but even that is, at the core, there is still that divine soul. We still are that, even if that soul needs to be kind of taken for a time out. I mean, I also believe that there are cosmic cops, that there are energetic way stations where we go to learn and get reprogrammed when we're not in a body, if we've gone so far afield that we've really turned into a murderer in that sort of way. But the soul is still the soul. I really believe that there is only one universal energy, and that is, you know, divine source energy.
But you're saying the soul of a just really nice person is the same as that of a person who's a killer?
In the core, yes. Yes, so this is one of the interesting things about something like forgiveness. So if you look at a person who was raised in a really abusive family, maybe their father sexually abused them, maybe the, you
or
know,
beat
the mother,
them or something.
Yes, right? Terrible, terrible things. But the truth is that person still has a soul. And that soul is on a journey. And part of the journey is to understand, to learn, and to grow. And as we know, very often people who abuse their children were abused as children, right?
I could forgive someone who might have injured somebody I cared about if they were drunk because they have a problem. I could forgive that. I wouldn't accept it or like it, but I could forgive that. I cannot forgive someone who goes out and physically murders somebody in the family. I just couldn't forgive them. Does that mean there's anything wrong with me?
No, absolutely not. You know, honestly, George, I don't know that, you know, it's easy. It's certainly not easy for most of us to forgive, but
I want revenge.
Yeah. But that's part of the learning and the growth. That's part of the becoming an enlightened being, right?
And by the way, we've got the largest prisoner listenership in the world. They're all going, right on, George.
You know, but we've all read stories, certainly, about, you know, the mother of the murdered child who forgives the murderer. And it is such a huge healing for them both that it transforms both of their lives. I'm sure that so many of the people in prison who are listening are on a spiritual path, and sometimes a misstep, and sometimes it's an accident, or like you say, you know, we're drunk on drugs, we're not in our right mind, whatever that might be, that things go terribly wrong and we end up in prison. And we realize, we wake up as a soul, there's an epiphany that says, this is not who I am. This is, you know, at the core of my soul, because our souls are infinite. We don't live one or two lives. We live, you know, 600 or 800 lives here on Earth alone. And I believe that we live in other planets, planes, and dimensions.
Sure.
Also.
What is karma to you, Lisa?
So karma is the cycle of learning. And so the those are good examples. If we talk about the fact that that maybe I was an abusive parent in a past life, I may come back and decide to be the abused child so that I can
right.
understand both sides of that coin. So it's not really punishment. It's about learning and soul growth.
Do these records ever get mixed up?
You know, I don't think so.
Like somebody didn't do it, basically, and they're in the Akashic Records?
No, I don't think so, because it's not like human error. That's the good news, right? That's why I said it's not like some record keeper up there writing and being like, oh, darn it, I was watching the wrong person all day. I wrote all the wrong stuff down. So it really is, you know, energetic and done in this etheric sort of way. So, you know, I don't think so. No, I wouldn't put it past us as record readers to occasionally misread someone's records, but that's the human error.
Where does the devil fit in? Or does it?
Well, that's a good question. I don't believe that there is a devil. I don't believe that there is black and white. I believe it's all gold. I believe that it is all divine source, and there is the dark, and there is the really light bright, and most of us fit in there somewhere in between. But I do really believe that the really, you know, messed up, dark people are still souls that are trying to find their way back home, to learn, to get unstuck from some of these really challenging cycles of karma or learning or growth. But I do believe, George, that there are other entities that are not so human. They're not on a human soul path,
mm-hmm.
and they can be kind of dark and nasty and more parasites, more like lower life forms, but they're not in the same soul family group like we are.
Hmm.
So, you know, they could be not so nice.
Well, and there are many out there like that.
Yeah, there's enough. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And they can, you know, so when I look at people who get, say, possessed or, really have sometimes they're really terrible illnesses. And I've seen that they have taken on this parasitic energy, that they've gotten attacked by this darker kind of form of parasite. And it can take over our bodies, and it's a huge challenge. And so some of the things that I actually teach in this prayer book, From Questioning to Knowing, are really ways to protect ourselves, to keep guided, guarded, and protected. And I actually offer what I call the Rainbow Shield as one of my free gifts on my website, because the Akashic Masters have said to us that everybody needs to be conscious in our physical bodies, own our own physical space, and stay protected so that we stay healthy.
That's the way you have to do it. We've a couple minutes to go here, Lisa. Now, when we take calls, what kind of questions are you looking for? Or do you read people's Akashic records?
Well, I absolutely do read people's Akashic records, but because it's a bigger process, it's not kind of a psychic hit, so I don't have time on the calls to specifically open their records and have a conversation with their beings of light. So what I love to do is answer bigger, more general questions, and I can do some healing for the group. So when we can kind of put our whatever relationship or money or health concern into something that's a little less specific, like, you know, is Johnny my soulmate, then we can do some group healing, and it's helpful for everybody.
Indeed it is. The book, where do we get From Questioning to Knowing?
Amazon.
All right.
Yep.
Amazon has a lot of books.
Yep.
How long did it take you to put this one together?
You know, it was out in just a little less than a year.
That's not long at all.
No, I was impressed with them and myself, because I just kind of go along for the ride. But I went to Sedona twice. I did two, you know, kind of concerted writing of like a week here and then a week there. I have some very dear friends who also work in the Akashic Records that are great editors, and they help me kind of edit things and organize things, and there it was really, really fast. And then I was very blessed to have Jack Canfield step forward and say that
loves
to do the foreword. He loves the Akashic Records.
Excellent.
Yeah, so it was great. It was very very smooth and easy. Very blessed.
How much do our past lives influence our current lives?
You know, I would say a lot. So when we write a soul plan, very often what we're doing is saying, What gifts and talents do I have from past lives that I can bring forward? What haven't I completed? What karma, what soul contracts would I like to write? You know, maybe some great relationships from before with some soul family members or some that got cut short that I'd like to revisit. And so I would say probably a good 60% of what we write about in our soul plan, what we plan to do, is based on past lives.
All right. When we come back in a moment, Lisa, we will open up the phone lines and give everybody an opportunity to chat with you. Lisa Barnett with us. Her latest book that you just heard, you can get on Amazon.com, is From Questioning to Knowing, 73 Prayers to Transform Your Life. One of her other books, The Infinite Wisdom of the Akashic Records. And well, let's find out how you can access your records and see what they have to say when we come back.